for each delegation to do an introduction for the delegation. They will choose how they do it. If it's individual, they can proceed that way. But what I'm going to do, I will introduce the honorable members that are part of this meeting for today. And definitely, I know that on the first member who is there is Honorable Marae. And that is Honorable Mohale. Then that's Honorable Williams, Honorable Tembi, Honorable Nyakembe. I need to indicate that we have Honorable Manana who was in another meeting earlier on. He is on his way here. There is also Honorable Maluleka, just next to Honorable Marewe. Good morning to all of you. Welcome to all of you. I will hand over to the, if the department is here, we will say, I can't see anyone. We will start with the department. Otherwise, then we'll go to the public service coordinating, beginning cancer.
Chairperson, thank you very much. We are here. My name is Kumbula Ndaba. May I ask members or representatives of the department to introduce themselves?
Thanks, Chair. I am Melissa Nchikila. I am the chief negotiator for the state, and I am employed in the DPSA as the head of labor relations and negotiations.
I'm Themba Gilesiko, from DPSA, negotiator in the negotiations unit.
Chairperson, you look surprised. I'm not in DPSA yet. Still to go there. Yeah. No, Chairperson, I'm Frikkie de Bruin. I'm the General Secretary of the Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Council. And introducing my delegation right next to the Chairperson, on the right, flanking you from the left-hand side, is Mr. Bafraseni Purusian Erasmus Poppy. He's the Vice Chairperson for the employer from the embattled province of Limpopo. on my far right-hand side, also on the table, is Mr. Lekhang Martin Luther Ralekotnyani. He's the Vice Chairperson for Labour from the constituency of Nahau, but representing Labour in the Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Council, being the Vice Chairperson. That is the PSCBC's delegation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. I'll just introduce the honorable members that have joined us. Like I indicated that Honorable Manana will join us from another meeting. He's already with us here, Honorable Manana. And then at the far end there, that's Honorable Bushiro. Okay, let's proceed to the Public Service Commission.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Good morning. We are, the Public Service Commission is represented by three delegates today. First, we would like to apologize that our chairperson has had to travel abroad, so Mr. Tim cannot be here this morning. I am Richard Kalipilesizani. I'm a nationally based commissioner. I'm going together with my colleague, Commissioner Moira Maria Martin, who is based in Northern Cape. And we're also accompanied by a senior official, who's the chief director in labor relations, Ms. Mashau, Matari Mashau. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The CPSI, Center for Public Service Innovation. Okay, We will proceed. Well, surely we're expecting the public, the Center for Public Service Innovation. We haven't received any apology. We believe that they will be here. Of course, the meeting was starting at 9, they jumped straight away. But nonetheless, because we've got the basis to start our meeting, we're going to proceed, more especially since there's no direct tie in terms of issues that are going to be presented, and therefore I believe we will proceed. They might join us along the way. At this point in time, I would like to just go through the apologies that are here. We've got an apology from the Minister Pareche. Departmental official duty on government business. And then the next apology, it's Deputy Minister Ayanda Roro. Yes, this government business, government engagement. And then we Tibelo Maliema, the secretary for the committee, received an SMS from Honorable Tutoit as well. What was the reason? Oh, he will arrive, he'll join us late. And then honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, then it means we are in a position to proceed with our meeting, and I will outline the agenda for the day. On the agenda, we've got a briefing by the Minister of Public Service and Administration on the Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Council structure, the obstacles and challenges experienced. As we indicated, there's an apology, that there is delegation of those who will be doing that. The second item on the agenda, it's briefing by the Minister of Public Service and Administration on the structure of Center for Public Service Innovation. Okay, and then we'll proceed. Can we then start with item number one? Just to give a brief background, and just also to highlight to the commissioners who are part of this meeting, we have been engaged in a process as the committee of interrogating thoroughly our way forward in terms of areas where we think systems or structures do not really synergize properly in terms of government to deal with this work, to impact properly. And therefore, part of what we are trying to do is to just do oversight on those areas and try to see if can we forge some ways of ensuring that those systems are functional. I will give an example. The Public Service Commission will realize that there had been a task of, say for an example, how do we proceed as a country, you know, in the light of hiring, firing, suspension, expulsion of particularly senior managers. Do we have tangible structure of government that we can say is intact, it's stable? Do we retain skills? Do we have problems that are unforeseen, which we need to look at those problems maybe with a different eye? Do we have maybe informed expulsions, informed suspensions? Why, again, we'll interrogate, why do we lose most cases as government? You know, after suspensions, which appears to be difficult to deal with it immediately, which proceeds longer. What does it translate in terms of the runs and cents? You know, and then so that immediately after we've synthesized this problem, we can be able to say how best can we move forward. We actually are moving away from dealing with allegations or perceptions that are clouding that area. Of course, we have engaged also Palama, you know, what role is it intact? Can it be able to, you know, deal with a reasonable retention of skills, you know, retention strategy, where we can set senior level. We have the skill, we have retained it. If not, if we can't retain it, you know, what are the issues, so that we definitely are able to provide a very clear way forward. So some of the things do get interlinked. We did have thorough discussions with the Public Service Commission, you know, because most of the time they're here when there are activities. And we do know the establishment, the legislative establishment that talks to national and provincial existence. But we all know in the country there is a very serious problem about municipalities at local government. And we also know, of course, that the Public Service Commission is established in terms of Chapter 10 of the Constitution, and therefore that Section 195 that actually looks in all spheres of government, including the state-owned entities. And therefore we are in a situation of actually saying, you know, how does all these matters get synergized? And therefore, it's important for one to highlight why then there's this need for this committee to have called in Parliament for an oversight public service seminar, so that all issues that we realize while we do oversight that impacts on government, either negatively or maybe can be bettered, we are able to alert government, because our task cuts across all committees and therefore are not sectoral per se. And therefore, we actually invited the Public Service Commission along that. Of course, today you do not have a presentation to make, but I would request that maybe we get 10 minutes to engage after the meeting prior our departure, if we can be able to get time with today's schedule being so tight, meeting after another. But basically, there's quite a lot that we have to do moving forward, and in the light of, you know, what kind of policies works well for us, and you know, how can we make sure that those that are not implemented are implemented for a better realization of a developmental state. Okay, so we did go for an oversight with the structures that had been invited to Parliament today, and therefore we're not like meeting them for the first time on this table. There are issues that emerge from oversight, and you know, members would remember that, you know, there are also members who are appreciating to interact with the public service bargaining, coordinating bargaining council for the very first time, where they started to have an understanding, those who did not really know the bargaining council. And some of them were for the first time understanding how it functions and so on. But the latter part of the work rests on our shoulder to ensure that do we find these structures working? And if not, we therefore, the department must have accountability in terms of say why maybe they're not functioning, or why there are problems, why the permanent obstacles, because we cannot have that. And therefore, we take it that this meeting will actually further outline and highlight that existence of the beginning council, and then we will further engage, understand and know how best can we move forward, you know, in the realization also of aspects that are raised about the Public Service Commission, the limitation of their establishment in terms of national and provincial, the interrogation of the local government, and how best can we then move forward, you know, while we integrate, we coordinate and collaborate the institution. Along that, ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, I would request that the presentation from the Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Council proceeds. Thank you.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. Greetings to honorable members, commissioners present, and colleagues. My name is Kumbula Ndaba. I'm the head of the branch labor relations and remuneration management in the Department of Public Service and Administration. Minister for Public Service and Administration has been asked to make a presentation, and the chairperson has already indicated that the minister is not here, so I am going to make the presentation on his behalf. Our presentation is looking at the PSCBC structures, the challenges, as well as the obstacles. In terms of the contents, we are going to look at the constitutional framework. We're going to look at the structure of collective bargaining in the public service, look at the parties admitted at the bargaining council, the PSCBC itself, the sectoral bargaining councils, the provincial and departmental bargaining chambers. We look at challenges and obstacles, as well as the way forward. So if I were to start with the constitutional framework, Chapter 2, Section 23 of the Constitution confers bargaining rights on employees and employers. These rights are regulated in the Labor Relations Act. The bargaining forum for the public service was established by Schedule 1, Section 2 of the Labor Relations Act. Now, if we go straight into the structure, in the next if we go straight into the structure, then you see that we've tried to outline how the structure of the PSCBC looks, starting with the public and then on the extreme left, I suggest that members look at the copies that you have, because we're trying to get the document onto the system here. The one that we have here doesn't have the structure. Sorry? So proceed. Okay. The first one on the left is the Safety and Security Sectoral Bargaining Council. Its scope really covers members who are employed in terms of the South African Police Service Act, as well as those who are employed in terms of the Public Service Act. You have head office chamber, and you also have provincial chambers of the SSPC. So they would be operational in all the provinces of the country. And then the next one would be the Education Labor Relations Council, and its scope really covers the educators who are employed in national and provincial departments of education, as well as provincial chambers of the LRC. Then the third sector council would be the Public Health and Social Development Sector Bargaining Council, and its scope really covers employees in national and provincial health and welfare departments and other defined employees. It will have chambers for national departments of health and social development. It would also have provincial chambers across the 9 provinces. Then the next one would be the General Public Service Sectoral Bargaining Council. This council basically would deal with the rest of the employees in the public service, those who are not covered by the tree. So if you are not in the police, you're not in the education, you're not in the public health and social development, then you would be accommodated. So it's more of a generic chamber. As I would explain later, the General Public Service chamber resort under the Minister for Public Service and Administration, whereas the Safety and Security would resort under the Minister for Safety and Security, our Minister of Police, and then the Education to the Education Minister, and so so forth and so forth. So if we go to the next issue, where we look at the structures now, the structure of collective bargaining in the public service, there are three pillars of collective bargaining in the public service. One is centralized bargaining at the PSCBC, and then you have sectoral bargaining in sectoral councils, and bargaining in provincial and departmental chambers. The parties to council are, one, the employer, or the state as the employer, as is usually referred to, and all trade unions admitted to the council. Now, there are eight trade unions admitted to the PSCBC, and these unions would be divided in terms of the organizations as well. There are those that belong to COSATU and those that belong to the Independent Labour Caucus. Those in COSATU are identified there. It's SATU, NEHAU, POPCO, and DINOSA. And in the ILC, you have HOSPESA, NAPCHOSA, SAPU, and PSA. Now, as we look at this, there are also a number of acting together arrangements. So some of the unions that may not necessarily make the thresholds or the numbers would actually be represented in some form or the other through these unions that are here. If we go to the scope of the PSCBC, the registered scope of the PSCBC is the public service in respect of those matters that are regulated by uniform rules, norms and standards that apply across the public service or apply to terms and conditions of service that apply to two or more sectors or are assigned to the state as employer in respect of the public service that are not assigned to the state as employer in any sector. Now, the Minister for Public Service and Administration is responsible for managing bargaining at this level in terms of Part D, Section 3.5 and 3.8 of the Labor Relations Act. If we look at the sectoral bargaining councils, starting with the General Public Service Sectoral Bargaining Council, you remember I said this is a more generic council because of the nature of the council. It was established in terms of Section 35, read in conjunction with Section 37 of the LRA and by designation of the PSCBC Resolution 10 of 1999. This sector deals with matters related to all other staff not specifically covered by the following sectors. One, the ELRC, or the Education Labor Relations Council, the Public Health and Social Development Sector Bargaining Council, and Safety and Security Sectoral Bargaining Council. And the Minister for Public Service, as I said earlier, is responsible for managing bargaining at this level. If after Melissa here on my right, we have Thembekile Siko. He is actually the chief negotiator representing us in that bargaining council. I should have introduced the madam on my right. She is the chief negotiator of the state, and she is representing us in the PSCBC. So where there are collective bargaining issues there, she is the one who is actually dealing with the issues there. Then sectoral bargaining, in terms of the scope of the GPSSBC, it spans across 9 provincial governments and 93 provincial departments, 34 national departments, as well as 305,000 employees. And its core operations is to conclude and enforce collective agreements to prevent labor disputes, to perform dispute resolution functions referred to it in terms of Section 5.1 of the Act, as well as establish and administer a fund to be used for dispute resolution, and create an environment conducive to the provision of operational services by the PSCBC. The next sector is the ELFC, the Education Labor Relations Council. Again, this sector was established in terms of Section 35, read with Section 37 of the LRA, and this sector deals with matters related to educators only, and the Minister for Basic Education is responsible for managing bargaining at this level. The register scope of the Council extends to the state in its capacity as an employer and those employees in respect of which the Employment of Educators Act 1998 applies. The next sector, to the third sector, is the SSSPC, the Safety and Security Sectoral Bargaining Council. Like the rest of the sectors, it was established in terms of Section 35 and 37 of the LRA, as well as Resolution number 10 of 1999 of the PSCBC. This sector deals with matters related to all staff employed within the police, within SAPS, and the Minister of Police is responsible for managing bargaining at this level. Its scope is the safety and security. The scope of the Safety and Security Bargaining Council is the state as the employer and its employees employed in the South African Police Service in terms of two acts. The first act is the South African Police Service Act, and the second one is the Public Service Act. The majority, of course, in this sector would be employed in terms of the South African Police Service Act, but you do have public servants who are giving support to operational work, and those would be employed in terms of the Public Service Act. Next sector is the Public Health and Social Development Sectoral Bargaining Council. Like the rest, it was also established in terms of Section 35 and 37 of the LRA and the resolution of the PSCBC, resolution number 10. And this sector deals with matters related to all staff within the health and social development departments, as well as all health professionals employed in terms of the Public Service Act working in a health facility. And the Minister of Health is responsible for managing bargaining at this level. Now, in terms of its scope, it represents employers and employees employed in the Department of Health, in the national sphere of government, the nine departments of health in the provincial sphere of government, the Department of Social Development in the national sphere of government, the nine departments of social development in the provincial sphere of government. All other employees who are employed in health and social development facilities under the Public Service Act and the Correctional Service Act, they are employers, and other health and social development workers as defined in Schedule 1 of the PHSDSBC Constitution, and employed under the Public Service Act, and they are employees. Then we have another sector here, which is further education and training. The further education and training sector is really a recent development or recent addition. It has its lecturing staff in a separate bargaining unit under the Education Labor Relations Council, while the administration staff are accommodated within the SSSPC, within the GPSPC, which is the General Public Service Bargaining Council. Now, perhaps before I deal with the provincial and departmental chambers, there is coordination between what Minister for Public Service and Administration does as he manages the PSCBC and the GPS BC with those ministers who are actually managing bargaining at the level of other sectors like education, police, and social development and health. So, in a sense, Minister for Public Service and Administration takes overall responsibility, particularly insofar as it relates to matters that, like salaries, those are transverse matters. But the sectors would deal, of course, with sector-specific issues, which may not necessarily take away from some of the agreements reached at the level of the PSCBC. Then we go to the provincial and departmental chambers. Now, each sector has established a provincial chambers. In the case of the General Public Service Sector Bargaining Council, national departmental chambers have been established. The chambers are not juristic persons and must have their collective agreements ratified by the sector councils. In other words, these are consultative forums. They are forums for engagement, and of course they reach certain decisions, and these decisions would have to be checked whether or not they are in sync with what is agreed at PSBC level. The executing authority of each national department and the premier in the case of a province is responsible for managing bargaining at this level. That is why at the level of the PSCBC we have representatives from all the provinces coming from the premier's office. So they will be sitting there representing their provinces. In terms of the scope of provincial chambers, a provincial chamber shall function in the provincial administration for which it has been established. Its jurisdiction shall be limited to issues of transverse nature in the provincial administration, and this will exclude the South African Police Service, which is a national competency, and thus those that affect only the provincial administration concerned or which need special or specific attention in the provincial administration, and those that affect more than one sector as designated by the council in the provincial administration, provided it falls within the competences of the executing authorities of the provincial administration. Now, we move from the structures now, and we deal with the next issue, which is basically the challenges and obstacles. Perhaps I should say, before I even deal with this one, that we've highlighted a few of these challenges, so they are by no means conclusive. There are quite a number of challenges that we face, but we felt that given time, perhaps we should focus on a few. In terms of the challenges, one of the challenges that matters remain on the agenda without resolution for extended periods. So this results either from time constraints as we negotiate, or perhaps because parties do not have mandate or they are still trying to get their mandates, and the issue for that reason will be on the agenda. And this is something that we believe compromises the work of government. The second challenge is the referral of matters to task teams. Whilst it is necessary at times to refer matters to task teams, just to process work or issues that have been dealt with at the level of councils. It is our view that at times this mechanism becomes ineffective, and so it doesn't really give us the desired result. And there are a number of reasons for this. It could, for example, be because of the people who are representing parties in those task teams, who may not necessarily be the same as those representing the parties in the actual councils, or alternatively, like the councils themselves may find that those who are there are not properly mandated, or may not have processed their mandates, or the issues are simply complex and parties are not able to process them as expeditiously as they would have wanted. Then there are various inconsistencies in determination of scopes. For example, the admin staff in subs do not receive certain specific benefits negotiated, even though they contribute financially to that particular sector. The sector tends to focus on uniformed staff. What we're basically saying here, we're using subs as an example here, that you have in terms of the SSSPC or the Safety and Security Partnering Council, it will negotiate issues that relates to operational members, the police, and yet when you look at contribution to the sector, everybody who's employed by the department would actually be contributing to that sector. So this is really one of the challenges. The next one is the issue of nurses employed in correctional service who fall within the health scope, but nurses employed at schools do not. So then you find that you have a category of nurses falling there and the other one falling on a different council. Thus, similar occupations have different conditions of service. This is simple to follow, really, that if one sector is designated to deal with conditions that are applicable to its sector and takes certain decisions on improvement on the conditions of service, but the other doesn't or is lagging behind, those that have taken resolutions would benefit those employees to the exclusion of the others who may necessarily be in the same occupation, but by virtue of the fact that they are in different sectors, then they are disadvantaged. The scope of the PSEBC is determined by the Labor Relations Act. Now, when there are times when you find that there is a reorganization of departments, and this will impact on the scope. And the good example here is what has happened in the education, whereas in the past you had one education department, you now have basic education and higher education, and that affects the scope of the council and impacts therefore on the schedule that made or that determined the scope of those councils. The challenges related to implementation of OSD or occupation specific dispensation. The first one is the incorrect implementation and amendments of original proposals through sectoral bargaining council. Here we are simply talking to sectors and employers implementing perhaps OSD differently as from what it was envisaged. And this has often led to financial shortfalls. Some of the departments that have struggled really as a result of this is the education sector. You also have seen challenges in the health sector resulting from this. And challenge at provincial and departmental chambers. Well, one of the challenges there is that departments sign agreements with labor without consulting custodian departments and sometimes against advice. Now, to conclude, Madam Chair, and as a way forward, we believe that certain things must be done. But let me quickly add that these issues are not are still to be processed, but we are pointing to what we think should actually be done to deal with some of the challenges. The first one is that in light of the challenges that are raised, there may be a need to review the scopes of councils by parties. There's a need for more oversight and that is monitoring and quality assurance to be exercised over council, and that there's a need to improve financial oversight and reporting, and also that chambers to be designated as consultative forums. Just on this point, I said earlier that you sometimes have a situation where chambers reach agreements that are not in sync with what is happening at national level. And therefore, if they have powers to conclude agreements, you may find that there are problems there. So if they are, however, used as mere consultative forums, then you obviate or you resolve that problem. Then the last one, task teams to have clear terms of reference as well as work plans. We think this is one of the things that should be considered in resolving some of the challenges that we have. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, that was the presentation by the Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Council. And I realize I already have two hands. The members can interact with it. Honorable Williams, you'll be followed by Honorable Nyakembe, Honorable Mare, then Honorable Manana, in that order, starting with Honorable Williams.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just have a question around the challenges and obstacles and the way forward from slide 19 to the end. I'd just like to know if the parties were consulted on these challenges and obstacles and the way forward. In other words, are these challenges and obstacles and way forward a collective view, or is this only your view, the department's view? Has Labour been engaged on these, and is this Labour's view as well? Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Williams. Honourable Nyakem.
Thank you, Chair. Let's welcome the presentation. I think linked to what Honourable Williams raised, I've just gone through the booklet. One see that there are structures, the executive committee, your finance committee, that exist. And these structures is the combination of the employer and labor. I think then the question also linked to that, yes, the presentation is done by the department. Does these structures of the collective bargaining council aware of these challenges? Did you, as a department now, came to know about these challenges as a result of your representatives that are sitting in the structures of the bargaining council, or is purely just an assessment by the department, not necessarily even the representatives who are representing you in the structures of the bargaining council? That's one. The second one is, I was worried earlier, then now I understood that once there are sectoral bargaining councils, you have looked at the big departments which employ more, like your health, education, safety and security, and the likes. I was worried about other departments, the Department of Labor, and the likes, but now I've realized that they are represented on the basis of the general public service bargaining council of South Ghana. I've seen that. The general secretary or the secretary general or the secretary of the bargaining council is here. You see, with other bargaining councils, not necessarily in the public sector, you will find a body that is, in other bargaining councils, I'll talk about Metal and Engineering Industries Bargaining Council, the one that I know the best. You will find that there are agents of the bargaining council who are there in order to see to it that the collective agreements at that level are implemented. Do you have such in your bargaining council? The other one, Chair, is around justice, because the finances and other things are also to assist the resolution of disputes. It's either it will be the department or the bargaining council itself that must respond to this. The mediation and arbitration when disputes arise. Do you have a body that is looking at the mediation and arbitration of disputes, and a body that consists of employees of the bargaining council, or that responsibility has been outsourced? Because you'll find your CMA might have its own full-time commissioners who will be looking at disputes, and have at the same time part-time commissioners who are not necessarily employees of the bargaining council. The last point is I assume that the national treasure, it does not reflect as a sectoral bargaining council. I will assume that it is part of the general public service sectoral bargaining council. If it's not, why?
Thank you, Honorable Nyakembe. Honorable Mare.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much for the presentation. Can I just, as a start, where you talk about the scope of the bargaining council, can I just find out to what extent are the strategies of government being incorporated in your departure point in approaching, and whether this is a collective position as well? I'm taking the example of the government has got a
strategic objective to keep inflation between 3 and 6%. Now, obviously, approaching wage bargaining and salary bargaining, to what extent is that a parameter that you use, or is it an open end to see whatever people, you know, agree on eventually? Because that can have a profound effect on our economic development and also our global competitiveness. The second point, Madam Chair, is that on slide 9, no, I'm sorry, not slide 9, on slide where you talk about the special fund, where is it now? Where have I seen that now? Yes, on slide 9, I'm correct. Establish and administer a fund to be used for dispute resolution. What is this fund? Give us more information on this fund. Who contributes to this fund? How is this administered? How has it been reported on? We certainly need a lot more information on that fund. Purposes, objectives, mandates, etc. Then on, if I look at the Safety and Security Bargaining Council, Sectoral Bargaining Council, you only refer to the police service. Mm-hmm. What about the other safety and security departments like Defence and Correctional Services? Do they have separate ones? How are they been dealt with? And then lastly, Madam Chair, for this round, in the way forward, your slide number 21, your first point says, in light of challenges raised, there may be a need to review the scope of councils by parties. What does that mean in practice, in reality? You know, what is the implications of what you are saying there, and what does that mean really? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Manan.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I was covered by Honorable Williams. I wanted to ask the same question.
Thanks. Okay, can we take the response?
Well, we have the General Secretary here. We have other senior members of the who are representing us in the PSCBC. So I will deal with some of the questions, and those that I perhaps did not cover, they will then attend to them. Let me deal with the issue of the strategy of government and the extent to which this is incorporated in the bargaining process. This of course is a difficult matter in the sense that it impacts directly on our negotiations strategy. We obviously table a position as government at the PSCBC in the negotiations, and as we do so, impress on labour, our social partner, to understand where we come from. But what happens thereafter is clearly a product of bargaining. So that is how we actually deal with this matter. We obviously can't impose a position of the employer on labor, since this is a negotiations process. That would be my response to that question. The next issue is the issue of the need to review the or there may be a need to review the scope by parties. We've highlighted some of the weaknesses that we see in the in various councils, and how some of the employees, if you like, are disenfranchised by the structure of or the scope of those councils, and as a result of that, we believe that it is necessary that this matter is attended to. There are no concrete positions on this one. Safe to say that parties ought to engage on it and find solutions. And these solutions must obviously be lasting solutions. I made an example earlier about the members of the police and who are employed in terms of the Public Police Act, and those who are employed in terms of the Public Service Act, and how the process of bargaining in the SSSP sometimes disadvantage them when resolutions and agreements are reached. But it may be necessary to look at some of those occupations, like administrative occupations, or similar or like-minded occupations together. Now, of course, that has implications of its own, and where it may lead us is something that perhaps we need to explore more. That is why we flag it as one of the issues, as opposed to taking a definitive position. So that's basically what we mean there. You asked, is this an assessment of the department? Yes, it is an assessment of the department. But the PSBC itself has done similar assessments on some of the challenges that it faces. So we are represented in the PSBC. So some of the things that we reflect on here are also what PSBC itself has established. The extent to which I've expanded perhaps may not necessarily represent PSBC, but specifically the department and its views on some of the challenges that we face there. But broadly, this is in our view, an assessment that would reflect also the views of the other parties in the council. For example, when we talk about how task teams are managed and the work of the task teams, all of us have shared a view there. We have a shared view, for example, when we talk about the time it takes to process issues in council. As much as we want to process them faster, we find that at times it doesn't happen because the mandating processes, from both sides, by the way, takes longer than is expected. It is a shared view, so it's not necessarily a departmental specific view. So that would be my response to that. The National Treasury is part of the employer. Is part of the employer. Firstly, members of National Treasury sit in the PSCBC as part of the employer. But in terms of benefiting from the product of the work of council, then they are represented in the General Public Service Bargaining Council. May I ask the Chief Negotiator of the State to deal with the rest of the questions, and the general secretary also to cover those that I did not cover.
What is the fund and how has it been established? Essentially, it is just part of the levy fee that is paid. Every employee in government, including employees who are not members of trade unions, are required to contribute to the operations of the council because they receive the benefit of dispute resolution. From the levy, funds are made available and set aside for disciplinary functions and dispute resolution. We then have panelists who need to be accredited by the CCMA because the council performs dispute resolution procedures on behalf of the CCMA. They accredit these councils to perform the functions. So we have panels who will deal with any disputes that are lodged, both at a mutual interest level as well as your individual rights. Essentially, the money is then utilized. We have a service level agreement that we enter into with panelists. The employer would be required to contribute 50% of the cost. So every employee, in the case of the PSCBC, we pay 50 cents as the employer, and the employee will pay 50 cents. So for every employee within the scope of the PSCBC, that amount of money is there. What we don't currently have, apart from the normal financials that are given, we are saying we would want to have a more active role in terms of how the funds are expended. We want to look at the funding models and essentially deal with those processes. We are comfortable, however, that in terms of the dispute resolution, the monies are accounted for by the PSCBC in respect of all the disputes that are settled. That is very, very basically how we have dealt with it. A levy fund agreement was signed, and that is what operates in all of the sectors and the PSCBC in order to perform dispute resolution functions. In respect of the Safety and Security Bargaining Council and its scope, it is in terms of the scope that has been defined and designated, it is only the Department Police. And essentially, that is what we are saying is, should we be looking at these sorts of areas? Neither of the parties have a definitive answer on whether one should be looking at it in respect of your cluster configuration, whether we should look at it in respect of occupations where you would have an administrative sector for all administration and support staff, educators in one sector, all your safety and security people in a sector. The Department of Defense does not fall within any sector in respect of the military. We only deal with the Public Service Act personnel, which fall within the Secretariat of Defense. And those individuals would form part of the General Public Service Bargaining Council because they are required to perform purely administrative functions. The Department of Justice, however, both the attorneys in the NPA as well as in Department of Justice and Constitutional Development also fall within the GPSSBC, as do correctional service officials. And therein then are some of the issues that one needs to look at. Is the scope perhaps too broad to look at specific sectors? Because while you have the administrative staff, say in police, being overlooked because they are such a small size, you have your correctional officials swamped in the GPSSBC, because essentially there are only 30,000 correctional officials and wardens, as opposed to the other 280,000 administrative staff. And so this for us is the area that we say we need to look at, but we also haven't worked out our perfect position on that one yet. I will leave the issue of the enforcement to the Secretary of Council to deal with.
Thank you, Chairperson. dealing with the issue of the agents or agents and the enforcement of collective agreements, no, in government we do not have, or in the PSCBC we do not have these agents. We do not have, or we did not implement the provisions of Section 33 of the Labour Relations Act. And the simplistic motivation for that is that in the private sector you have those bargaining councils that are not members, for those employers that may not be members of the bargaining council, to whom you will extend collective agreements, and then you need to ensure that they are enforced through the enforcement processes. While in the PSCBC we only have one employer, being the state as employer, and all implementation is dealt with by the state as employer. So if there's a salary increase, then there's no need for enforcement, because that is an agreement part that is implemented by government as a national competency or as a national process. So we don't have those agents employed as in other bargaining councils. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Mfariseni Popi. Thank you very much for the question, because I would leave this house still having this challenge. The question says, as PSCBC, when you engage, do you also take into account government strategies and plans? One of the major challenges that we face year in, year out, is the other government institutions or agencies that introduces their salary increments during February or March before we start our negotiations. And for example, you hear that members of parliament, they are receiving 20% increase, and it's publicly announced. Now that makes it very difficult for us to move in to start to say, as a government, we are introducing 2%. And let me also make this very clear that the council is made out of men and women who are well vested in terms of these practices of engagements, and they read what the inflation is all about and all market forces. Now, when they start to put this before the table and they say to us, but look, this is from the same past. One section of your government is getting 50% and you're giving us 2%. We thought this is a major challenge that we have. We would request to be assisted around that line. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I wonder if members wants to follow up. Otherwise, we'll have to move on. Honorable Mare, Honorable Williams.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to come back to that fund. Thank you for that explanation, but it's not really, I mean, all the information that you have provided to me or to us. Is that a fund that is separately administered? How is it administered? If I look in the financial statements, where do I find it in the financial statements? How is it accounted for? Because if that is a fund that has been created, one would expect that to find in the financial statements as reported by the auditors. I'm not quite sure whether the lady's following me. I'm not so sure about that.
Melissa, would you like to respond?
Yeah, no, Chair, we don't have any separate fund that has been established. These were the constitutional provisions that were established at the time when council came into operation in 1999, and these were the directive powers. You need to make sure that you have funds that have been set aside, for example, to deal with dispute resolution. We have moved beyond that, Chair. You would see your disciplinary processes are dealt with within the ordinary budget. There is an allocation that is made and it is in the financials. There is no separate fund at this point anymore because the councils have also decentralized those operations. PSCBC at one point received all the money and then administered money on behalf of the sectors. With the evolution of bargaining and the sectors growing into their own right, they have now taken over those functions and they are now administering their own funds through a levy agreement. So those particular ring-fenced monies do not exist in that form. When we did this, we wrote it from the constitutional prescripts that were set up at the time. I think that it may just be misleading that there is a pot of money that is set aside somewhere. It is not in that context. The financials as they stand account for all the money that is in the councils.
Madam Chair, I must admit it is very confusing because first of all it says here core operations establish and administer a fund to be used for dispute resolutions, and in your first answer you have given, you have said that there are money being used for that purposes. Now, if it's used for that purposes, you know, then it must be accounted somehow. So it is quite confusing. So I hope the books is not as confusing as the answer was. Thank you very much.
Honourable Williams.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm still a bit confused about Labour's involvement in this presentation and to remove my perception that Labour have been relegated to a rubber stamp on this presentation. I'd like to hear from Labour on the matters, the challenges and obstacles and the way forward slide from 19 to the end. You know, have they got anything to add? You know, were they consulted? Because fundamentally, the Bargaining Council has come to Parliament to represent the interests of the Bargaining Council, which is a collective, and I need clarity on whether or not the collective is aware. I mean, thank you, Chairperson.
Was there any other hand except the confused ones? Honourable Nyeke.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the answers. I'm not confused. In respect of the way forward that you have suggested, if you have given a thought of what I'm going to raise, it's fine. If not, it's also fine. Given now the challenges and obstacles that you have identified, and which were identified also by the Bargaining Council, when I say the Bargaining Council, I mean employers and labor in the Bargaining Council. So there's no separate employers and separate labor in the Bargaining Council because all of them, they constitute the Bargaining Council in terms of the Labor Relations Act. So I'm saying in terms of obstacles, now you have tried to come up with a kind of a way forward. Have you then, when you are doing that, even you yourselves as the department alone, have in mind as to how much time would you need in order to deal with this challenges that you have identified of now. Yes, there will be challenges that you will identify as time goes on. I know that, but are that specific on the ones now, challenges that you have identified and this kind of a way forward that you suggested? I know that you have to engage the bargaining council in terms of the way forward and everything else, but at least for me, you can't just identify challenges and map some kind of a way forward without budgeting time for you to deal with those issues that would like to be collected. Thank you, Chair.
You can proceed with responses.
We may have to come back to you. We may have to come back to you with specific time frames, but that would have to be done within a financial year. But how much time exactly is really depending on the agenda of council. I mean, we will. It's just in the near future we're starting with salary negotiations, and they have a life of its own. You may, for example, set aside a month and find that 3 months later you've not finalized on that matter.
Okay, just on that one, it will be preceded by a written question so that it doesn't get lost somewhere. The response comes back. Proceed to the other responses. Do you want to respond to the rest?
Well, this is really the employer's presentation. The minister was asked to make a presentation. Ideally, what should have happened is that the general secretary of the PSEBC should have been asked to come and make a presentation on behalf of the council. But when we are summoned as obedient public servants, we had to comply, and that's why we are here. When the parliament says come here, we do so.
Okay, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for the presentation. Maybe in conclusion, just to indicate to the department, the obedient department, together with the public service coordinating bargaining council, that we've got so many issues on the table that we still want to actually pursue. We take it that, you know, like it was indicated to us when we did oversight that we're the first committee to go there. Would really want to not be the first committee, but continue with work that sort of involves oversight. But like I indicated, there are many other tasks, the tasks of the structures that exist. How can we better them, and how can we make them have value moving forward? And there are also a number of other things that we really need to discuss with the bargaining council based on the environment that normally confronts us of the negotiations, of the disputes, and so on and so on. And once we talk about the developmental state, we realize that, you know, we have now a better experience now based on things that confronted us in the past. And of course, planning for the future, it is important for us to have you know, an understanding of how do we proceed. But more than that, again, you know, to me, the issue of the structure is quite critical. The issues of municipalities are quite critical. Like, you know, the next week we were supposed to have a meeting that actually looks into some of the problems where the bargaining council is part of us again. But I must just indicate in advance that that meeting might be moved. Actually, it is already moved because there's something that came to Parliament where all committees have to be involved in. But I want to assure you that we've got so much work to do. We're going to have a lot of interactions and engagement, particularly on the issues that can improve where we are. And therefore, don't be surprised, we'll be coming quite often to Parliament, and possibly at that time we will have a better plan, you know, because we take it, this is the first appearance to us, maybe on other committees in the past, but this is the one that just started. We appreciate that you actually obediently with the department came. We appreciate that you have started to engage and understand and know some of the aspects, but it's what we require or what we need is far more than what we've just done for today. But thank you very much for today's presentation and discussions. We have a nice journey back. Those who are leaving, those who still want to remain and listen to the coming presentation, they can be with us. I will afford everyone a 10-minute break so that we can resettle again coming back, and we can be able to focus on the Center for Public Service Innovation. And I've noticed that they did arrive and will proceed with the presentation. Thank you very much. Thank you.